Hey, welcome to Your Turn. Mike Causey here, and this is the last in our series of open season shows we're going to be doing. My guest is Walton Francis, and Walt, you have had a long slog this time around. Walt writes the Consumer Checkbook Guide to Health Plans, and it's been a long few months for you.
It's been a pretty busy one, 2 months. The month of October, I spent looking at all the plan brochures and revising. We do computer programs to figure out what they're likely to cost you. It's very complex. And so I'd sort of pore over these 100-page brochures, of which there's well over 100. And some of them include two or three plans in one.
And this year we have the self-only, self-plus
right.
one option.
And we had to reprogram and make for that. Yeah. And there's a lot of Medicare changes this year. It's been, and then, of course, all the advice that I give during open season, including this show.
Well, we reach a lot of people this way, and many of them are very grateful. Got a lot of emails saying to thank you for this service that you do. So in addition to selling the guidebook, which I love because I like paper, you have the online version, which is many federal agencies have subscribed for their people, and check with your HR office and see if you're in it, or if not, you could even spring, what is it,
$9.95
or whatever, and purchase it yourself and do it at home. Spend $10 and you could save $2,000.
But for free, you can go to the website, check to see. It's www.guidetohealthplans.org, guide to health plans, one word. You can, number one, see if your agency subscribes right there on that homepage. Mm-hmm. We have a list. And you also can read the text for free. So if you want the advice, you can get that.
And groups like the National Treasury Employees Union, they subscribe for all of their members.
Right. So does the American Foreign Service Association.
Yeah.
I mean, there's several, you know,
several ways you can
several
get
ways
in it.
To get free access and, or pony up the $10.
Heaven forbid, pay for it yourself. Let's go to the questions here first. We've got some by email, and then we can just start generally talking. This is from Martin in McLean, Virginia. My spouse and I are both federal retirees, and I believe eligible to enroll in self-only plans. We're self and family now. It looks like that for our current Blue Cross Blue Shield Standard plan, we could save over $800 a year by enrolling separately as self-only versus self-plus-one. Is there any downside to our enrolling separately as self-only versus sticking with self and family or switching to self-plus-one? And that's a pretty good question.
It is. And the answer, in his case, the answer is no, there's no risk, but I want to elaborate on that. But there are cases where if the plan benefit structure is $6,000 maximum out of pocket for you, self or self and family, if it's like the same number or almost the same number, if you enroll in two self-onlys, all of a sudden that $6,000 becomes $12,000. Most plans have a structure like it's $5,000 for the first person, $5,000 for the second, and it doesn't matter if you're in two selves or one self only. So yeah, by all means, in your case, Blue Cross has switched from Type 1 to Type 2 over the last couple of years. So two selves will save you a fair amount of money. The other thing you should at least think about is switching down to Blue Cross Basic, also as two self-onlys, and save another big chunk of premium money at the cost of losing your out-of-network benefit. And, you know, some people want that badly and some people don't want it at all, and that it's kind of your preference. But
yeah.
But you've got a straightforward choice, assuming you stay in that plan option.
Okay, here's one from Stan in Venice, Florida, and he says, greetings from Venice. I reluctantly took the time and effort to change my Blue Cross Basic plan from self and family to self plus one to save a lousy $7 or $8 a month. For the micro savings, I almost didn't bother to change. Do you think the rates for the self plus one will ever significantly differ from family? As is, I wonder why they even bothered to offer this alternative. And I responded that it'll depend on really how many older people, retirees, shift into it. But you're the expert.
Yeah, and actually, this was got enacted almost by accident. I mean, it was not a well-thought-through initiative. Its OPM has actually held down the self-plus-one rates this year. Something different might happen in the next open season. But look, that $7 or $8 a month is still, you know, $100 a year. It's actually $90 a year in Blue Cross Basic to go from family to self plus one. $90, you know, that's a meal out. That's a nice Christmas present for your wife. I mean, it's not
chump change.
It's not chump change.
Yeah.
But yeah, you and some plans, by the way, there's no saving from moving to Self Plus One, or even costs a little more.
Yeah.
NALC is one of those, and in the DC area, the Kaiser High option. But in almost all plans, you could save some money. A couple of plans where you can save $400 or $500. It really a lot depends on the plans, as you said, Mike. How many old users do they have who don't have Medicare?
Yeah, we look who's talking. We don't like to hit this, but older people are what they in the business they call heavy users because they cost more.
Right.
Okay. Here's one from Edward. Says I retired from the government and continue to work at age 57. I have three children under 12 and currently have APW high option.
Thank you.
I'm considering changing to APWU CD option. We have average medical expenses. Do you recommend? CD, of course, stands for consumer driven. Could you explain that?
Yeah, the consumer driven plans are like the high deductible plans. They're close cousins. They all have a high deductible. But before you get to that high deductible, of course, you get the free annual physical in every plan. But they also have a medical account of one kind or another. And in the consumer-driven plans, it gets various names, but it's usually a pretty substantial amount of money. In APWU, it's for a family. It's $2,400. So until and as your medical spending goes through the year, that $2,400 gets spent, you know, its first dollar coverage until or unless you reach the total of $2,400, in which case you then pay the deductible for the next whatever it is in that plan. I forget, $1,200 or so probably. So that's the structure. You start out with, quote, free care from using your savings account, and then you go into high deductible mode. And then once that you've used up the deductible, regular insurance kicks in, you know, where the plan nominal copays and all the rest. The high deductible plans are very similar, but it's called a health savings account, and it's actually your money. So that if you change plans in a future open season and you've built up your account by not spending it all on routine medical, you take it with you, and it's as you've said on the show, and I've said, it's an IRA on steroids. But back to the question here. I think we rate APWU Consumer Driven as one of the very best buys for families, and APWU High Option was one of those plans where the premium went up a little bit more this year than you'd like to see, and so the gulf between the two options has gotten pretty wide. I think it's kind of, I don't want to say it's a no-brainer. You really do need to check the brochure. There can be a few tricky angles in APW consumer driven. You get to spend up to $400 on dental, okay, per person out of that $2,400. But you're spending at the rate the dentist charges, and that's your annual checkup kind of stuff. So you're going to probably use up, you know, several hundred bucks per person on your annual get your teeth cleaned and so on. And even if you have a dental plan, that's secondary. Your health plan is primary. And so the coordination with the dental plan isn't as good or as lucrative or, you know, as favorable to the consumer as one might like. But that caveat aside, it's hard to beat that option.
Well, you know, to the extent that I understand this, the HD, high deductible, looks better than the consumer driven because of that. You get that tax-free money, tax-free in, tax-free out.
Well, they're both tax-free going in.
Okay.
But, yeah, the key thing is you own it.
Yeah.
And over in the HSA, you can invest. You know, you can buy stocks.
You said that. Yeah, it's amazing. Well,
and it's your money, and it's tax-free going out if you spend it on health care.
What's in it for the insurance company?
Nothing special. They're offering it as an option because it's in the private sector. It's quite a popular option. For some reason, there's a lot of, you know, feds don't seem, you know, they're couch potatoes or they're afraid of change or they don't want to look at those 100-page brochures or whatever.
Yeah.
And it hasn't caught on much. But the government share of the premium is usually 2/3 or more, and it is paying the cost of that savings account.
Yeah.
And it's all tax preferred. I mean,
really
no
good
reason.
Deal. Well, I really appreciate you explaining that because, as you said, it's a good deal for lots of people, not just the young and healthy, but for lots of people. Here's one from Sheila she's with NASA, says, I'm having difficulty sorting out the best plan for a 70-year-old still working NASA employee. I'm healthy except for being diabetic, insulin, and other drugs. Is there some place that allows you to insert the medications you take and allows a comparison of plans for people who could sign up for Medicare Part A, Part B. A is a no-brainer. I'm finding it all confusing. Sheila in Cleveland.
Well, in her case, number one, do not, until you actually retire, don't sign up for Part B.
Okay.
Because while you're working and under,
lots of money, huh?
under an employer plan, Part B is secondary and it will pay zero. Okay? So, and you can, and you're working at age 70, you, hey, work till age whatever, 75, whatever it is, whenever it is you retire, then you sign up for Part B, and there's no penalty for late enrollment if you've been covered by an employer plan while still working. So in your case, don't even think about Part B until you actually retire. Now, meds, we don't, unfortunately, have a, it's our tool, we wish we did, but it's very hard to do. We don't, our tool includes lots of things, but doesn't include a way to enter your medicines and see which plans pay for them best. But there's fairly several straightforward things you can do. If it's a couple of high-priced, the low-priced generic drugs, it doesn't really matter, okay?
Uh-huh.
The, all the plans are going to cover them. But the high-priced ones, check with your pharmacist as, or your, as to which plans cover them.
Okay.
At what rate. And
good.
Or look or go on the plan websites and see their formulary.
Okay. We'll take a short break here. We'll be right back on federalnewsradio.com. Hey, Mike Causey here. Welcome back to Your Turn. Talking with Walton Francis. He's the longtime editor of Consumer Checkbook's Guide to Federal Health Plans. You can still buy it on the stands, the book, get it in bookstores. Check your agency to see if they have subscribed to it for you, and you could do that at work today or tomorrow or even Monday. Of course, the health season closes at its close of business Monday, so it, the time is wasting, but here we have Walton Francis here with us today answering some really great questions. Here's one. Lauren Larson, our producer, has been taking these calls. Dan from Rockville, Maryland. How do you inform your provider about a QLE? I guess that's qualifying life event. Retired, no HR office. Son turns 27 in February. Continue to cover until then. Also, just got married. Can't cover more than two people. Tough question. Glad you're here.
Yeah, well, first, if your son, if you, once he turned 26, he lost insurance coverage.
Yeah,
so
okay.
There, you know, he's going
he's
there already.
Okay.
Each plan has its own procedure, but, you know, basically you just tell the plan, you know, pick up the phone and call them. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm married or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You do, of course, have to change, you may, or may have to change your enrollment. If you're in family, you almost certainly want to go to Self Plus One, for example. But if you're trading the son for the wife, so to speak, then it's you don't have to change anything. You just let the plan know, okay?
Okay, and you don't have to go through OPM or anything.
No.
Okay.
It's just the QLE is his.
Yeah.
Now he has an option if if he's already been a year out of insurance, he can go on Obamacare. Let's just give him that option, okay?
That with the state exchange in Maryland, presumably.
And if his income is low, he'll get very good coverage at a very low cost.
Okay. Here's one from Michael in Maryland. He has the Kaiser Family Plan. What does Medicare Part A, or when does Medicare Part A kick in? Can I keep my Kaiser plan?
Well, first, for sure, you can keep your Kaiser plan, okay? And tons of people do, okay? With or without Medicare A or Medicare B, you know, that's a straightforward, don't worry about it. You're what I like to call a Kaiser lifer. I have a lot of friends who are like, that and never going to leave Kaiser. Medicare A, normally it kicks in at age 65. You have to apply for it, go down to the Social Security office and so on. And most people at the same time sign up for Part B, but you don't need to do either, and there's a little twist. We were talking earlier about high deductible plans. If you're in an HD plan with a health savings account, once you get any other insurance, including just Medicare Part A, you can't add money to your health savings account. So you could postpone enrolling in Part A for as long as you want. It doesn't offer much additional coverage, you know, particularly in a plan like Kaiser where there's close to zero cost for hospital admission. You know, what Part A doesn't give you any real much of the way of benefit. It does help keep the premiums down. So if you're not in a high deductible plan, I would say, yeah, go sign up for Part A. It's a no-brainer. You just go do it at age 65. Again, for those who are still employed, it's secondary and you'll never get anything out of it. Part A, though, is no penalty for late enrollment. So, you know, do what you want to do. It's not urgent to do it the very day you turn 65. And it will not, either way, interfere with your Kaiser enrollment.
Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but just sort of a basic lesson in health insurance. It seems to me like you have maybe three kinds of plans. You have fee-for-service, like Blue Cross and like GEHA and the letter carriers and others, where you make sure your doctor's in the network, but that you go to them, but you deal with your doctor. Then you have the HMOs, and you have one where, that you go through them, and they tell you which doctors you can deal with. And then the third kind is Kaiser, as you described, and it's sort of a one-stop suits everybody. You can go into their building, their facility, and chances are a doctor with your specialty will be there. Is that pretty much the way they work?
Yeah, except that's a very nice description. I would say, though, that in the middle group, the HMOs other than Kaiser, they're not very restrictive anymore about seeing the specialists and so on. They've gotten rid of most of that bother of you need a referral because it was so unpopular, okay?
Yeah.
So they have transformed themselves into something very similar to the national plans, because the national plans all now have preferred provider networks. So the only big difference really is that most HMOs don't pay anything if you go out of network, whereas almost all national plans do. But some HMOs pay even out of network. So the difference is kind of...
And as you've said before, the HMOs really stress preventive care, and they're very good with maternity benefits. Is that right? Still true?
Yeah, they are. And several of... They're in almost every area, and certainly true in the D.C. area, there are a few HMO options that are just great bargains, not just Kaiser, though it's, you know, number one value, really, in almost all situations. But, you know, Care First Standard and Aetna Open Access Basic, there's several really economical HMOs, and they have broad networks. Care First is Blue Cross, okay?
Yeah.
Aetna is Aetna. Well, guess what?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so okay.
It's not a real restriction to be at an HMO anymore.
Well, you said, and you have taught me an awful lot over the years with this, about a tenth of it is stuck, but you've said some interesting and I think reassuring things long time ago, still holds true, is that all the health plans are good. So everyone in this program is good to excellent, and certainly better than most non-federal workers, non-federal retirees can get on the outside, and that's reassuring. But your emphasis there is just don't pay too much. They're all good, so look for one that works for you that has a lower premium. And the other thing you said is I think a lot of people don't think about, and it comes up when people are talking about, should I get two self-onlys for my spouse and I versus a family plan? They're looking to save premiums, and they will save a little, but you have stressed again and again and again that the reason people buy health insurance is for the catastrophic coverage. Would you explain that?
Yeah, if you think about it, health insurance is a financial product, and the real reason you want insurance is to protect yourself against financial catastrophe. That's why you have house insurance. That's why you have car insurance. Okay, you get an accident, you don't want to, you know, and maybe it's your fault. It's something. There's a death. You know, do you really want to be, you know, have to pay $1 million out of your non-existent bank account? The first and most important thing about health insurance is the catastrophic coverage. Is it good? It ranges from good to excellent in all the FEHP plans, but there's some fairly big differences.
Yeah.
You know, APWU and a couple of the HMOs, the most a family could be out of pocket is somewhere in the range of $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000. Blue Cross and some of the other plans that GEHA that people are used to being in, that number for family could be, you know, $10,000 or $12,000. So there's a big difference right there. But all of them are good to excellent. The other thing is, how well does the plan cover your out-of-pocket costs for years in which you're not hitting a financial catastrophe level, but, you know, you may have some substantial medical expenses. And the plans vary considerably in how well they deal. You know, when your costs are zero, they all benefit you zero, okay?
Right.
And, you know, and when your costs get into the, you know, the charge level of hundreds of thousands, they're all going to protect you with that maximum out of pocket. It's all the in-between cases where there's some substantial differences, even though the plans are all good. Some are excellent, and they vary, which is why when we compare them, we look at both the premium, the for-sure expense, and the likely or not-so-likely out-of-pocket expenses in our ratings.
Right. And as you've pointed out many times, when people say, well, I can save a couple hundred bucks if we get two self-onlys, but if you're both in the same car wreck, then you have two deductibles to satisfy that are higher. And, you know, if one of you gets sick, and so it's something to really think about. Don't just focus on saving a few bucks.
Yeah, and it works very well in most plans to go to two self only. So don't get me. Remember, this is for couples who are both feds.
Yes,
doesn't work if your spouse is not
exactly
a fed.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a minority of all our listeners.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Got a call here from Mary in Texas. She's considering the mail handler's benefit plan, the consumer driven option, or the GEHA high deductible for typical medical for two annuitants, husband and wife. Which would be best? Husband is former Fed, both retired and in their 60s.
Well, you're going to, if you're both, you're not both Feds, if I understood the question right. So you're going to be in one plan, the same plan.
Yeah, husband is former Fed.
Almost certainly a self plus one. We found both the plans you mentioned are very, very good. We rate them very highly. So I'm not going to, you know, tell you to join GEHA high deductible over MHBP, which is really mail handlers, which is also excellent. We actually it's hard to choose between.
Yeah.
How old were they, Mike?
Said they're in their 60s.
But not where?
Both retired now.
If you're in a high deductible plan and retired, until you sign up for Medicare Part A or Part B, You can add money. You will have a health savings account and add money to it in a high deductible plan.
That's the case. Don't join Medicare.
No, yeah, or maybe postpone Medicare. Depends on exactly what your situation is otherwise. But there's also something in your later years called a catch-up contribution to health savings account. So you can actually pour extra money into that.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. You have some sort of rules of thumb for health plan shopping, especially this late in the game?
Well, you're running out of time.
Yeah.
So you better, you know, I wouldn't wait till Monday, okay?
Yeah.
Don't try to call OPM on the phone. The lines are swamped.
Yeah.
I mean, just use your electronic method of making your change. You're going to have to change on a form SF-2809 to go from family to self plus one anyway. So there's a few million people who ought to be doing that. If you're going to have to go to that much trouble, why not think about changing from one plan option to another? The obvious choice for many people is think about, if you're in Blue Cross Standard, why not go to Blue Cross Basic? I'm giving you some simple comparisons. GEHA High, GEHA Standard, APWU High Option, APWU Consumer Driven, okay? So there's lots of ways to say, and those are all money, big time money saving moves, okay, that I just mentioned. You can even be a little friskier if you're in a traditional plan. Think about a high deductible or consumer driven. What's wrong with that excellent HMO? The Care First plans now all offer a Medicare wraparound. There's a lot of plans that now offer Medicare wraparound that didn't used to. This is the deal where if you have parts A and B, you get 100% coverage of your hospital and doctor expenses. So if you're in the D.C. area, for heaven's sakes, CareFirst Standard Option HMO or CareFirst High Deductible are other good choices.
Very good. Okay, got to take a short break here. We'll be right back on federalnewsradio.com. Hey, Mike Causey here. Welcome back to Your Turn. Talking with Walton Francis. He's editor of Consumer Checkbook's Guide to Federal Health Plans. As you probably know, the hunting season for the federal health insurance program ends at close of business Monday. Today is Thursday. Today's Wednesday, and time's a-wasting. So focus on this. As Walton Francis said, you can save yourself a lot of money and get very good coverage this year. And with the new self plus one option, people have even more choices to make than before. And I am so glad our producer, Lauren Larson, took penmanship in grade school or college, because she has been handling the questions today, and they're in cursive and I can read them. This is Betsy from Frederick. She said, my husband and I are in Aetna Direct with Medicare A and B. Currently, we have self only, considering self plus one. Do HRA, that's health
reimbursable arrangement.
Do HRA funds move with us? So I guess she means if she goes to another plan.
Let me just say, I'm 90% sure. Well, it's the same plan.
Yeah.
If you went to another plan, they don't.
Okay.
But they're staying in Aetna. I would call the plan to double check, but I think I'm 90% sure the answer is, yeah, you don't lose your medical account by switching. And if I, it's a bit fuzzy. Assuming they're both feds, then they could both be in a self-only enrollment. That's one of the cases where it's a little bit better to be in self plus one than two self-onlys, because the premium difference isn't much, and you do save on the catastrophic. The maximum you could pay out of pocket is better per person in self plus one than it is in self only. So call the plan, double check, but otherwise make your change.
Okay.
And by the way, they're in one of the very best situations. I mean, Aetna Direct with Medicare Parts A and B is just blows away almost all the opposition in terms of a money saving option.
Hang in there, man.
It's got the 100% wraparound deal, and that takes care of that high deductible. And you've got that for a couple, that $2,400 savings account to pay. And, you know, that'll pay for dental or, you know, anything, any medical expenses that you need to pick, RX, prescription drugs would be the main one probably, copays and stuff. But basically, you're going to build up a big account and never probably have to pay anything for healthcare.
Wonderful. Speaking of marriages in the Washington area and in the government in general, when we talk about a mixed marriage, we mean one works for the federal government, the other does not. So let me give you a hypothetical here. Husband and wife, he's not a federal worker. She is a federal worker. But they're piggybacking on his private sector plan because it's better or it costs less or something. So she's the non-fed has the coverage. What's the danger of that?
Well, there's a couple of dangers.
Yeah.
If they're both on the private plan, then when it comes time to retire, they're going to run into the 5-year rule, which says, hey, if you retire and you haven't been continuously enrolled in the FEHVP for 5 years before your retirement date, bye-bye health coverage, okay?
And that's when you need it, when you're
forever.
Retired. Yeah.
So the federal worker has to be in a FEHV plan for at least that 5-year period. But at any time, if you're in a self-only enrollment, because let's say that she has her own, she is using the federal plan, he's in the private plan, but she's in self-only. If she dies, he loses FEHVP coverage forever.
Got to have a family plan.
And this
plan
is whether it happens before or after retirement. So there are some perils of Pauline,
right,
some pitfalls.
Yes. So you want a family plan or a self plus one plan. So, and in effect, you're and I think you've used the term before, you're buying insurance so you can have insurance later on.
Right.
You've said buy one of the low premium plans just to give you eligibility for coverage in the event of the federal spouse dies or in the event of the 5-year rule kicking.
Yeah, in fact, there's some cases where a family has very good private sector coverage, and one of the spouses says, "Well, I'm the Fed. I better enroll for 5 years. What plan should I enroll in?" You're a prime candidate for a consumer-driven plan. You can't you can't get an HSA account because you're covered by other insurance. But you can join the consumer-driven plan, and then one of the ones with low premiums and a big savings account, like APWU, for example, it'd be a $1,200 savings account for just one person, and use that to supplement your spouse's family coverage to cover you. I mean, you know, so you're double covered, but it's usually double coverage isn't real smart. But in this case, with a consumer-driven, it can be a great way to go.
Okay. Yeah, the more you talk about these HD, high deductible plans, the better they look. And again, that money is tax-free going in. It's tax-free while it's there. And when you take it out, it's tax-free.
It's
like a Roth IRA on steroids. Okay. In the real world, to be or not to be is Shakespeare. We know that. In federal lingo, to be or not to be, the B refers to Medicare Part B, and this is probably the most asked question among people, certainly among retirees. Many people, if not most, qualify for Medicare Part A by virtue of X number of quarters working in the private sector. Or some other
or
coverage.
Or just being a long-term Fed.
If they're in the FERS program.
Or even CERS.
Yeah.
I mean, you're covered now. If you retire, you're
good.
Got it.
Okay. But Part B is a different kettle of fish, and it's quite expensive, and for some people it's extremely expensive. Would you explain what it is and who needs it and who doesn't need it?
Okay. Medicare Part A, which is free, is the hospital coverage in Medicare, and it's very good coverage. I won't talk about the employment situation. Just you're retired, okay, and you've just turned 65. What do you do about Medicare Part A? Answer, unless you're in a high deductible plan and want to keep building up your health savings account, sign up for Part A. It's free. It augments your federal employee plan, maybe not worth much because the hospital coverage is so good. Medicare will be primary. It'll pay first. It lowers the cost for the program as a whole. Your neighbors will benefit. You won't get much out of it, mm-hmm. but sign up. Okay, and the plan typically, not all of them, but most of them, will guarantee that you will pay nothing for hospital expenses if you have both Part A and your FEHP plan. Part B, that's where the one where you got to pay the premium. If you newly retire this year, it's $122 roughly. If you're already in it, you have a grandfather rate. Your rate won't be changing. It's about $105 a month. So you're talking $1,200-$1,300 a year if you're lucky. If you're newly retiring, newly turning age 65, I should say, it's a little higher. It's more like $1,500 a year, and this is per person. Okay.
And then the higher income people really.
And if your adjusted gross income for a single person is $85,000, this is the number on your Form 1040 near the bottom of the first page, or for a couple is $170,000 AGI. If it's those numbers or more, you will not pay the regular Medicare Part B premium. You'll pay more, in some cases, a lot more.
It's several hundred dollars.
You could be up to $4,000 or $5,000 a year, even. Okay. Of course, we should all be so lucky as to have.
Yeah, it's a good problem.
That high.
It's a good problem.
It's
to
a
have.
Good problem to have. But then the question is, why should I bother signing up for Part B? And indeed, even people who pay the regular premium. What went wrong with your FEHP plan that was so good at age 64 the day you turned 65? And the answer is nothing got worse. So there are lots of reasons to join Part B. I like to say it's political insurance against something bad happening to either Medicare or the FEHP. You got both a foot in both pots. You get some protection. A lot of people sleep better at night knowing they have that 100% wraparound deal. You do get that 100% wraparound in most plans for Parts A and more this year for having Parts A and B. You pay nothing for a hospital or doctor. You're still going to pay for your drugs, okay? But the plan covers those well to excellently. And, you know, so there's some Parts A and B in most plans let you go out of network at no cost as well as in network. So network restrictions disappear. Again, the plan has to be offering that wraparound deal, including out of network, okay? Which most do, though some don't. That's kind of a footnotey thing. Blue Cross Basic, which is a superb choice with Parts A and B, is only a superb choice if you're willing to stay with Blue Cross providers. They don't give you a special deal out of network, though Part B does give you a good, you know, just in its mm-hmm. own terms out of network. So there's pros and cons. For most people, I think there's so many good wraparound plans now, it's getting to be not so close a question. Yeah, get A and B, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're not going to pay, probably. If you're not going to pay the, because you can join that in the direct, for example.
Right. Well, and you mentioned that higher, much higher Medicare premium for people who make $85,000 a year or more adjusted gross income, $170,000 for a couple. That's not unusual in the Washington area.
No, it's not. And, you know, you're going to get back in savings from this 100% mm-hmm. wraparound deal. You're never going to, rarely, if ever, going to get back more than about half of what you pay for your Part B premium. Well, if your Part B premium for, let's say it's a couple, is $1,300 each, $2,600, and you'll get half that back, you know, you got double coverage, but it's only a half, it's only a $1,300 hit. But if it's a couple and you're each going to be paying a $4,000 premium, you're still only going to get back $500 or $600 or $700 from having Part B, and it financially just doesn't make sense.
Okay, need to take a short break here, and we'll be right back on federalnewsradio.com. Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here, and we're in the final countdown talking with Walton Francis, who has been kind enough to do several radio shows with us this year. This is probably one of the most important open seasons ever for federal workers and retirees for a variety of reasons. One, federal pay has not been going up very much. The COLAs for retirees have not been going up very much. Health insurance premiums have gone up. Medical inflation is always higher. But the people really need to shop around. The changes in the Medicare Part B premiums for some people, important factor. The fact that people have the self plus one option this year is a real puzzler for a lot of people. They were expecting that it would be better than it is. The difference in premiums between a self plus one and family premiums are not great in many of the plans. On the other hand, as Walton Francis has pointed out, if you save a couple of $100 a year, that's not chump change. So certainly worth looking at. And you know, so we'll go to that. We got a question here from David, and he says, if you have an HSA, health savings account, you cannot also, or you, can you have an FSA, question mark,
answer,
a flexible spending account?
No, okay. And by the way, everyone who's not in a high deductible plan should get a flexible spending account.
Yeah.
It has the same December 14th open season deadline as your health plan choice. But no, there's some rules about health savings accounts, and you can't have other insurance with them. Well, you can keep your account, but you can't add money to it. And you can't have a flexible spending account with it. That said, there's a special kind of flexible spending account that you can have. It has some weird name, and I can't remember what it is. Flex something, I think.
Uh-huh.
So check that out. You can read about it on the OPM website, opm.gov/insure. And so you could, and you can use it, for example, for dental. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can also have something that covers dental and daycare. I mean, it gets a little,
yeah.
So look it up. But look, if you've got a health savings account, if you, you know, you've got the best of all possible things, that's not use or lose money. That's money that's going to stay with you forever.
As opposed to a flexible spending.
Yeah. And your heirs can, you know, can get it too. I mean, if you haven't used it up by the time you pass on.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering, this is maybe getting too far down in the weeds. Flexible spending account, and correct me if I'm wrong, I say I want the maximum, which is $2,500 this year. And they say, okay. So they take that out of my pay. They take the equivalent of $2,500 out of my pay. So that lowers, I assume, my gross income for income tax purposes, which is a good thing. But it also lowers my gross income when the pension computation kicks in. Is that correct?
I think so. Actually, I don't think it does.
Okay.
No, I think the pension is based on your nominal income, not the amount you take home. I'm not a pension expert, but I'm 90% sure that it doesn't affect that.
And the
it will have a trivial effect on your Social Security benefit.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're
it'll lower your
pennies. I mean, if you're going to spend $2,500 out of pocket next year on copays, maybe going to an out-of-network psychiatrist, or you just got some very expensive drug that no matter what plan you join, you're going to have to pay a lot for it. Okay. Then, or you need more, physical therapy visits that the plan will cover, et cetera. There are a number of reasons why you could be a lot of money out of pocket. Then you're going to get effectively a 1/3 discount, because your marginal tax rate is probably at least 30% by having a flexible spending account. So for heaven's sake, sign up for it. And people don't.
Yeah.
It's throwing money away.
Yeah.
You don't have to take the full amount. You take a lower amount, and you can even roll over up to $500.
So I've known people who estimate they're going to have $800 in costs that would be out of pocket, and that's what they sign up for, is a flexible spending account, just that amount.
Yeah, that's a smart way to do it. Put in the amount that you know you're going to spend.
Yeah. Okay, here's one from JL in Ohio. Getting a lot of out-of-town calls today. That's great. JL in Ohio says, if OPM determines that the child of a federal Fed is incapable of self-support, can the coverage of the child continue after the death of the parent, the Fed? So would the child be eligible for survivor coverage as a survivor?
Yeah, but you need to be sure that you're in touch with OPM on this kind of issue. One of the really wonderful features of the FEHVP, little known, is that if your child has handicaps so severe that they're incapable of self-support, then you can carry them as a dependent, you know, even when you're a graybeard and they're getting up there too, for long past, you know, age 26. You're not cut off at that age. And I'm not 100% sure, but I'm 90% sure that includes after you pass on.
Okay.
But do check with OPM or go on the website to be sure that I'm correct.
Very good. Well, we got the 2-minute warning here. What in summary, what can you tell people?
Most people can save roughly $2,000 or more for a couple or a family by changing health plans this year. You're going to switch anyway to go to Self Plus One. For heaven's sakes, look at the options for saving money by joining other health plans than the one you're in. This is a good year not to be a total couch potato, but you're almost out of time, okay? Checkbook's Guide to Health Plans shows you how much you can save plan by plan. We rate them, we rank them. So, you know, you can look plan to plan. How many hundreds or thousands of dollars am I likely to save in plan A versus plan B? And there's lots of bargains, many kinds of plans, including traditional insurance plans. Blue Cross Basic and GEHA Standard Option just stand out year after year as choices that are prudent money-saving choices for most people, or many HMOs, almost all the consumer-driven and high-deductible plans. So do spend a little time. If you're going to do nothing else, look at the brochure of the plan you're in. Go to our website if you've got it, or the OPM website. You can download the brochure right on your computer screen. You don't have to print the darn thing. You can look up the benefits of concern to you. You can, let's say you're interested in hearing aids or mm-hmm. maternity or whatever, or physical therapy, whatever the benefit is you may need to be exercising next year, check it out, okay? You could type in the word hearing, and it'll take you to the hearing aid page.
Okay. Thank you so much, Walter Francis. Look forward to seeing you this time next year, and thank you, and have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next Wednesday at 10 a.m.